Hello and welcome to the Mercenary Star Podcast. We are a Battletech podcast highlighting the storied mercenary units in the newest Kickstarter from Catalyst Game Labs and beyond. My name is Seth, also known as White Fox SG, and I'm your host. And today I am proud to be joined by our very special guest, my co-host for the day, Bourbon, also known as Ben Kleinfelter. How are you doing today?
Good, Seth. Thanks for having me on, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to have you. If you don't know who Ben is a host of the Valhalla Club podcast. Fantastic podcast. Definitely check it out. There will be links in the show notes, so be sure to check that out. Also, Ben is an author for the Battletech universe. How does that feel to say out loud, Ben?
Weird. I just call myself a writer, man. I don't know if I'm
you're that
quite
too
on the author level.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You totally are. Totally are. I mean, you got more than you call 5 words is all it takes, in my opinion. You get 5 words printed somewhere in Battletech universe, you can consider yourself an author, right? I don't know.
That's fair.
Close enough. But if you don't know, Ben has a unit digest in the most recent. It is most recent, right?
Yep.
Okay. Shrapnel magazine, number 12. And he covers today's unit, the Hansen's Rough Riders. So we're going to dive into them in just a minute as part of our fifth episode today. But before we do, Ben, just got a couple questions for you. First, how'd you get into Battletech?
It actually started with a fight over a girl.
Oh, really? All right.
Yeah. I was dating a girl and she was sweet on another guy. And me and this other guy kind of had words. And then we realized we liked a lot of the same things. So we became best friends. And he actually got me into Battletech. He brought over the first or second edition box set and was like, "Hey man, we should play this." And I'm like, "Okay, let's try it out." And, after that, I was hooked, man, and it was
that's awesome.
It was no looking back at that point.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, that's fantastic. And so then here's my next question: How'd you get involved with the Colorado group and the Valhalla Club?
I've only been in Colorado since spring of 2022. And I knew Charles Gideon from some of the Wolfnet events that I'd done at Gen Con and Battle Barn and stuff like that. And also with the writing side of things, where we had kind of exchanged a lot of ideas on the writing pieces that we had done and were doing. And I knew he was in Colorado and I hit him up and I was like, "Hey man, what's the Battletech scene look like in Colorado?" And he's like, "Oh, he talked to this guy. And, after that, it kind of just kind of blew up, and me and Mike, Matt, John, and Dave all kind of linked up at an Alpha Strike tournament one time here in Colorado, and we're like, "Hey, we can do this podcasting thing too, just for Colorado." So it started off just as a way to engage the community here in Colorado a little bit and build on that, let people know what was going on every month, so that way they could get more involved. So that's kind of how I got involved.
That's awesome. Yeah, and like being involved in your local community, can't say enough about that.
Absolutely not.
You know, like I am not nearly as involved in my local community as I would like to be. And part of that was, you know, pandemic, and part of that was proximity. I'm not too far, but it's still about half an hour for me to get to the closest game store. And so, you know, I definitely have plans for the summer, and I'm totally going to force my oldest child to go with me. So
Definitely,
you know.
Yeah. I feel you, man. I mean, you know, in Virginia, it was tough getting games in where I lived at, and the closest place was an hour away. And so it was one of those things that moving to Colorado has kind of been really neat to kind of really engage with a larger community than I'd expected. So.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Ben, let's dive into our episode, shall we?
Let's do it.
All right. Well, once again, we are on episode 5 of the Mercenary Star podcast, and we're covering Hanson's Rough Riders, of which, again, Ben is one of our most recent authors. So we're going to switch over now to our presentation. If you're watching the video on YouTube or on Spotify, you can watch the video there as well. But let's get into it, shall we? Before we get into it, actually, fixing things on the fly sometimes, you know. I have to fix one thing because we don't want to do that. Perfect. Okay. Had to get the previous founder's name out of there. So, all right. Hanson's Rough Riders were formed as a mercenary company in the year 3014 by Gerhard Hanson. Their roots go back actually to 2961 when they started off as a Federated Sons line unit, right? Ben, do you know what the name of that unit was, or is that like the extent that they kind of gave us? That's
I
all I could
can't
find.
recall it off the top of my head. Let me see. Yeah, it didn't really ever give them a name of what line unit they were in the Federated Sons.
Yeah. And that's okay. We'll just roll with it. And part of why they didn't ever kind of specify that, we were talking about this earlier, but one of the fun facts, the Hanson's Rough Riders are one of the original five mercenary units that were in the very first 1984 BattleTech board game box set. So it was Hanson's Rough Riders, Grey Death Legion, Grey Death Legion, right? Yes.
Hanson's, the
Hanson's, Grey
Light
Death, the
Horse,
Light Horse, Wolf's Dragoons.
and I want to say the Centauri Lancers,
Yes.
I believe. Could be wrong. I'm a
Lancers?
writer, I'm frequently wrong.
No. I'm trying to think. Yes, the Lancers. However, the Lancers, I remember reading this just recently. So basically, they had them color coordinated for the great houses, for a few of the great houses. So Wolf Dragoons were red and black for House Caryta and the Draconis Combine. The Hanson's Rough Riders were bl blue. They gave them a blue logo to go with the Lyran Commonwealth. And then, funny enough, the Grey Death Legion were just kind of their normal colors. But then the Light Horse and the Lancers both had yellow and black, but they were reversed originally. So there wasn't one for Merrick and there wasn't one for the Capellan Confederation. So Free Worlds League. Or no, I guess Grey Death was kind of for the Free Worlds League, weren't they?
Yeah, they might have been. I can't remember. It's been so long. I'm old.
Man, I think I'm wrong. I'm totally wrong, guys, and I apologize for that. But that's okay. I'll definitely correct myself next time.
Yeah, no worries.
But Hanson's Rough Riders were in that original book. They would not be showcased in the fiction, like actual, novels or short stories, until 1988 in the Shrapnel Anthology. But before that, they were even another kind of tidbit. They were actually printed in issue 8 of Game News Magazine in 1985, so a year after the game came out originally. It was provided by FASA, but it was a scenario pack for Hanson's Rough Riders versus Wolf's Dragoons. And they basically, it was, like I said, it was provided by FASA. They said it was part of, supposed to be part of the Tales from the Black Widow company scenario pack. However, it was never included in the Tales from the Black Widow scenario book. And so it's kind of apocryphal and kind of canon because they confirmed it was from FASA. So anyway, but yeah, so that's kind of where they started. And that was part of it too, is that they started as part of the, you know, Federated Sons. Then they were a House Merrick, line unit under, the 12th Arcturian
Atrian Lancers
Dragoons. Yes.
Yep.
And then in 3014, they were founded by the son of the original guy as Hanson's Rough Riders. So we'll get into that in just a moment. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and one to go on. pieces of fiction about Hanson's Rough Riders. There is the race is not swift in the Shrapnel Anthology by Bear Peters in 1988. Patriot's Stand, which is a Dark Age novel by Mike Mosco in 2004.
Good.
There's a short story called Hector from the Battle Corps by Jason Smetzer in 2008. Starfire by William H. Keith Jr. in BattleTech 25 Years of Art and Fiction. And that was 2009. And then most recently, our Unit Digest by Ben Kleinfelter in 2023. Shrapnel issue number 12. And then we should have had it already, which is why this episode was pushed back so far. But we should have already had Joy and Ashes, the Mercenary Tales number 4. However, Callus decided like this little Kickstarter was more important or something.
Minor detail.
You know, just a little bit, I guess. So we are waiting on that. I mean, I would not be sad if it came out tomorrow. Tomorrow's Friday or Saturday.
Oh,
you know, sometimes it's like either Friday or Saturday. And I mean, that'd be awesome. And it wouldn't be quite out of schedule. They've got, you know, the Kickstarter finished. They just gave us the backer kit, the initial backer kit surveys. I had a lot of fun going through and picking all my stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll get to it. But Joy and Ashes, hopefully that should be the next fiction, honestly, that comes out from CGL.
I hope so.
And it's just one of those kind of novellas, but it's about them and who?
Should be them, and I don't know who they're
fighting. Is it the Federated Sons?
No, they're employed by the Federated Sons in that novel, as far as
right,
I know.
Right.
But I would guess they're fighting the Dragonus Combine, which makes my Davian heart sing and my Hanson's Rough Riders heart sing.
Right. I know it was in the Kickstarter previews, actually, is when it kept saying it was going to come out April 10th. Obviously, it is now May 25th. So, I mean, hey, plenty of grace for Catalyst. No big deal.
Absolutely.
If any of you are listening, and I know a few of you have before, we are patiently awaiting it with rapt attention because we're excited for it. So
I need my Rough Riders.
That's right.
Fiction.
What's the hashtag?
Hashtag justice for Hanson's.
Justice for Hanson's. That's right. Everyone, hashtag it. Justice for Hanson's right there. tags EGL.
There you go.
But yeah, so looking forward to that. So hopefully we should have that soon. So unfortunately can't cover that, but, all right. We did get a little bit of that, I think, in Dominions Divided though. Like, isn't that where the story came from?
I believe so, because this was after Terra and...
Yes. After Terra in the Federated Suns, which we know that they're under contract for again. So we'll get into that in just a moment. But first, again, if you're watching the video, there's the first appearance there and the fun fact. Also, too, before we get into our unit summary, they have two logos, which probably confuses most of you. It did me for a long time. They have the blue shield with silver border, and then they have the brown shield with, you know, different shape a little bit, more pointy, more kind of a little demonic looking there. But yeah, so Ben, tell me how that came about, as I know you've researched it.
I had to do some research for that piece I did for Shrapnel. And from what I can gather, the blue shield was what they first started with in the first box set. Blue being they were employed by the Illyrian Commonwealth. And that's what they went through up until, I want to say, into and after the Jihad, where the Dark Age started, and with the license changing hands and the Fanpro shutting down and Catalyst taking over and a lot of the weirdness that happened during the Dark Age and Click Tech stuff, somehow their logo got changed and
yeah,
their color scheme also changed.
And I think it was something to do with whoever was writing about the Hansen's Rough Riders at the time didn't know of the existing logo. And so they, I don't know if they had one made or somebody had it made off of the description in the fiction. And I mean, it's still very similar,
yeah,
but
it's definitely very similar.
But for the purposes of moving forward in canon, the blue one is the official one. Moving forward, right?
That's what I understand.
Perfect.
And I could be wrong.
Well, that's okay. We're going to go with it. So yeah, but if you, in case you're wondering, both of them are the Hansen's Rough Riders. Also, too, if you are a fan of the CCG game, like myself back in the day, I found some awesome art to show off in the video. So check out the YouTube or the Spotify video. And check it out. We have Wolfgang Hansen, who was colonel in during the Clan Invasion, I believe.
Yep.
And yep. Then and then a card called Contract with Hansen's Rough Riders, which was fun. So, but yeah, so that's just kind of fun. Also, a fun tidbit is he's got that crazy white with lime green uniform, which happens to be the uniforms that they made up to go with their blue logo.
I got nothing, man. It's,
but they were, you know, from the original like mercenaries, and I think this is also from the first RPG printing is where these are from, actually.
Yeah.
And so we had some mech warriors and stuff like that here. Also shows off the desert kind of dune camo that they use alternatively with the blue on the tank there, on the demolisher tank,
mm-hmm.
actually.
Yeah.
So yeah, those are some awesome uniforms, honestly. I love them because they don't match. They don't match very, anything.
Very sparkly.
I actually don't hate the kind of like dune desert, you know, coyote brown camo with like lime green highlights. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Because that tank there has those like kind of the stripes there, so
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting color scheme, you know.
yeah, for sure, for sure. But you know, and then later years we also know that they paint their mechs blue and white too, so but that's okay. Okay, so we're gonna move on to our unit summary now. If you're watching the video, this is the cover of one of the books. This is the cover of the Patriot Stand novel. So again, there's the brown shield
Was that
logo on a
Brown
blue
Shield?
mech. And I need to read that one. I have a good swath of the Dark Age novels that I have not read. Because I left after like the first 5 or 10 Dark Age novels.
Yeah, they're a slog.
They were. And you know, at the time, like now they're like, oh, those novels are supposed to be like misinformation, right? It's like nobody knows what's
Right.
going on. And so
Right.
even these people don't know what's going on. I'm like, yes, but nobody knew what was going on. And
Yeah.
so we all lost interest
Yeah.
because you
Yeah.
moved it forward 100 years. So that was a little rough, but
It was a rough time. It was definitely a rough time.
yes. But okay, let's just kind of go into it here. We can kind of just tag team this so that I'm not reading the whole thing, but I'll read this first part here. The Rough Riders' original origins date back to 2961 when Colonel Ludwig Hansen took his Federated Sons Line unit. He was escaping to the Lyran Commonwealth, but then ended up working for the Free Worlds League. There, they actually joined and served as part of the 12th Atrian Dragoons, an actual house unit for House Merrick, and were led by Ludwig's son, Gerhardt, who sided with this was also kind of funny to me. They sided with Anton Merrick in the Civil War and lost.
Right.
And so it's funny because having just reread the Grey Death Legion trilogy and realizing that that's where it's established that Anton lost to his brother Janos. This was the Rough Riders on the losing side, and so then they broke off and became mercenaries in 3014. So, but yeah, after Anton's defeat, he led the remnants out of the Free Worlds League, formed the Hansen's Rough Riders mercenary unit, and the bulk of their history they have served with distinction the Lyran Commonwealth. Later, they did, were still employed by the Federated Commonwealth when that became a state. And then, following that, once again, when the Federated Sons and the Lyran Commonwealth split back to the Federated Sons. So, they're one of the few units to ever best the famed Wolf Dragoons during the Battle of Hesperus II. And precisely, it was even the Black Widow Company, which is like their elite company during the time, old Natasha Kerensky herself. So they fought during the Fourth Succession War and the War of 3039 for the Federated Commonwealth against the Draconis Combine as well. I'll let you continue there.
All right. After the War of 3039, the Rough Riders had nearly 2 decades of inaction on contract with the FedCom until they accepted an offer from Archon Catherine Steiner Davian to raid Clan Jade Falcon Planets. This endeared Catherine Steiner Davian to the Rough Riders, and during the FedCom Civil War, they declared and fought for her up until her defeat, which is hurts my heart.
That they fought for her.
Because Yeah, Catherine Steiner Davian was
I
just
know, I know.
not a nice person.
Those of us who were going through that at the time loved to hate her.
Oh yeah, and it's rough to go, I can't believe you guys fought for her. What were you thinking?
I know the
You
Grey
know?
Death did too, and
I
they're my
know,
unit, right? It's
yeah.
essentially what got the Grey Death Legion, shelved for half a century. So. But yeah, that's a little sad there. But then they at least came back a little bit, a little
They
bit
did. They
sooner.
did.
Duke George Hassock employed the Rough Riders after the conclusion of the FedCom Civil War to stem Tauren aggression in the Capellan March. Rough Riders' home base of Bromhead was attacked by the Tauren Lancers, and many of their dependents were injured and or killed. Definitely enraging the Rough Riders, and they basically went to war with the Torin Concordat, like a personal war. For the next several years, only stopping when they instead had to go assist with the invasion of Terra to finish off the Word Blake.
That's you know, that's that piece right there that kind of really drew me into the Rough Riders with you know, the Taurian Lancers. So Wolfgang Hansen, I believe at the time.
Yeah, it was him. Yeah.
It was him, and his wife and three of his youngest sons were killed in that attack.
Oof.
And so that's why he kind of went like, put me in, coach, you know, and and finally the George Hassock finally let him off the leash, and it just, that was one of those things where, I mean, nukes were getting tossed around left and right.
They did not abide by the Ares Convention of War.
They did not care.
They did not care. And so, yeah, they definitely went in full bore. I mean, it was like, yeah, nukes weren't even a last resort. They were like, hey, we're going to drop nukes. We're going to do planetary bombardment. And the Taurians were doing the same.
Yeah, I mean,
the Taurians actually kind of started the, you know, war crimes, if you will.
They had a little oopsie.
Yeah, a little oopsie.
But then they didn't know
also,
what
is it with, what is it? Okay. Side note, right? I'm a D&D player as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, D&D player backstories are always tragic. Like, the family was killed, or there's, you know, something happened. They were orphaned, whatever. I feel like that's like a trend with mercenary units. All their dependents always get wiped out in some battle.
They do.
Right?
They do. I mean, like, you know, Wolf Dragoons, look at them.
The Wolf Dragoons.
The prime example.
The Grey Death Legion. The Kellhounds. I mean, like, literally, not all of them, but a lot of them.
A big portion. Well,
especially if they're well known.
Yeah, Eridani Lighthorse.
Yes, you know? Eridani Lighthorse. Gosh, man, we got to find a better trope for mercenaries. you know, they were just raised on a peaceful planet, and they just had, you know, thought they were just really good, decided to become mercenary. I don't know.
Yeah. Send the money back home to mom and dad.
Exactly. I don't know. Pay for, you know, sister's college, right?
Right.
So I just noticed that, like, I've been noticing that in all of these, that it's just always tragic backstory. So
it is. I like to keep in my own little headcanon of when they went from their brown and done kind of paint scheme that they'd always had since their inception up until that particular incident where they switched over to a dark blue and a dark gray, kind of a brooding kind of colors. And
I like
that's why they kept it. You know,
I like it. I can dig it. Awesome. Why don't you finish out our summary there?
Let's see. After the invasion of Terra, to finish off the War of Blake, they would spend the next several decades fighting the Jade Falcons as they crept closer to Terra. Their efforts were noticed by the Republic of the Sphere, who employed them as trainers on Terra for the Republic Armed Forces. They would end up embroiled in another conflict on Terra when both Clan Wolf and Jade Falcon invaded. After the battle for Terra, the Rough Riders would make their way off Terra and find employment once again with the Federated Sons, where they are currently under contract. I say it in quotation marks.
Yes.
Having accepted Julian Davian's offer to mercenaries of land grants for service kind of thing.
Yeah.
So,
and I'm pretty sure that's kind of, we'll get more details on that in the upcoming story that we get from them.
Right.
But yeah, like I mean, I remember reading they were in the Battle of Terra, you know, in the Ilclan novel, but they weren't really in it. It was always like, oh yeah, everyone who's in Australia, that's where they are.
Right.
And so they didn't actually write them very much in there.
They really didn't. And that's really kind of where I got my inspiration to write that unit digest was reading that. And there was a piece in, I want to say they were just a snippet somewhere in a Dark Age book where they had a tank company that held off like a trinary of Jade Falcons that were doing some raiding and stuff. And I was like, man, that's kind of cool. You know?
Yeah. That's awesome.
Let's see if we can build a backstory for those guys.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're that's one of the great things about doing this podcast, Ben, is that I love getting to learn about these different units because I've known about them forever and I have known even a lot about most of them, but there's a lot that I still don't know. And so it's also been good to refresh my knowledge. I took a hiatus like a lot of people,
the dark times.
Right. Exactly. Like 2005 ish to 2012 or so kind of thing. I completely missed the Clicky Tech. Like I literally did not even know they were a thing until they were no longer in print. Cause I probably would have bought some of them, it is what it is. I was definitely, in the middle of my young adult life, post-college, working, finding a wife. So all that good stuff.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. It's, like when I first came into the game back in the late 80s, early 90s, the Grey Death were my boys. That's who I loved, that's who I grew up on. And then when they got kind of shelved, I don't want to spoil anything for anybody, but when they got kind of shelved, and that was about the time when the Clicky Tech stuff started, and I took a break and I was like, well, I don't want to deal with this. And it wasn't until I came back and I was still on the periphery of, I don't know what unit I want now that the Grey Death is kind of on the bench. I had to do some writing for the Universe book, and I was researching stuff, and the Rough Riders kind of stood out to me, and I was like, you know what? That's where I'm at right now. These are my guys right now.
That's awesome.
So, so I was cool to get to be able to write a little piece for them for the Universe book and for the Shrapnel piece. So that's kind of neat.
That's fantastic. No, I'm looking forward to it, both, because I have been waiting and asking for a Universe book since returning in the early, 2012, 2014, right, something like that. I love BattleTech, but it can be a little daunting for some people to be like, well, where do I get in? I have no problem trying to dumb it down and explain it, but it's helpful to have an entry point. So I think that's going to be, serve BattleTech very well as we move into this next phase, because we're about to get a whole bunch of new eyes on the game, especially in 25 days when Target starts carrying the Essentials box.
Definitely.
So looking forward to that too. All right. Well, also, part of why we started doing this too was because we wanted to cover, as many mercenary units as we can, until either I burn out or we run out of them. Okay. It's going to take us years if we're going to go through all of them, because there are literally hundreds. But with, starting with the ones that are being highlighted in the Kickstarter, we also had the first 5 force packs, with another one yet to come. Actually 2, I guess. We still have Snords and
Grey Death.
The Grey Death. Yes. Okay. Well, we already did them, but but we do have upside down the right side up.
There it is.
The Hansen's Rough Rider Battle Lance. So I was able to pick this up. It is one of the really cool force packs that highlight the mercenary units. And so, yeah, just going to show it off for just a moment. The 4 mechs are if you all remember, one of them is a jumping mech, which is actually this guy. Let's see if I can focus it here. It is the venerable Hatchet Man. Oh, my gosh. There we go. But he comes off and he has these sweet little flames. I do like how they've, I like how they're not all the same.
Right.
I like how, Like this one actually has it coming off the legs, and so he's actually higher than the other ones. And then the you know, they, some of them have like extra pieces to go underneath them. So yeah,
I want to say, pretty... was it the Highlander?
The Highlander has the Urban Mech underneath, that's it, right, which is pretty
yeah.
sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then another one has, one in the last box has just some debris or something. But that is piloted by the Hansen's pilot, Matthew Young. Matthew Young, he was during the Klan invasion, I believe. If you know anything about him, because I don't. then we also have the iconic Atlas. And it is actually a repose of the Atlas. And that is Afarin Oralehi.
All right.
Do you know who she is?
No clue.
Nor do I. However, I believe it is also... this was against... I think this is Dark Age, because they were fighting against the Pleiades Lancers.
It's
part of her backstory. Then we have a variant of the Enforcer. So, very cool. And it was piloted by Kanoko Manta. Or Manta. No, but she fought Clan Jade Falcon. No date given, but that is her. And then the new mech for this pack is the Penetrator. Very cool. I always remember it also because it was the mech Kai Allard-Leo had to pilot at one point. But the pilot is Jindios Baramba. And I don't know much about her. However, she is an equestrian, so says her card. And her family is apparently loaded because she actually took her horses with her to where the the Rough Riders' home planet is. So yeah, interesting cards, pilots there. And because we have very little in the way of fiction about them, I don't know who any of them are.
yeah,
but they're also not particularly amazing pilots. They're all like 4-3, 4-4, 4-5. So.
Yeah, for classic. I mean, you know, the Rough Riders are just they're a generalist unit, man. You know, they are just,
yeah.
They've been around a long time and they're scrappy. And you know, they may not be the best pilots, but they're experts in getting up close in your face and just wearing you down. You know?
Yeah.
So you don't need to be a great pilot for that.
You don't. And I mean, technically, regular troops for the Inner Sphere is 4-5. You know, like for those that don't know, it's like, you know, green, regular, veteran, and elite are the kind of like classifications. And you, in classic, you would bump each skill down. And so, yeah, they're kind of regular, you know, well-trained troops. So yeah. Also, again, if you're watching the video, check it out. I showed it off. There's also an image of the box art and box set. And then also the names of the players there. that is a brief look at the Hansen's Rough Riders. And very fortunate to have been here as the current expert. So looking forward to, again, the upcoming fiction, and I'm sure we'll enjoy the chat about that. Also, big shout out to our sponsor for this show. It is Fortress Miniatures and Games. Check them out. There'll be links in the show notes. If you don't have the Hanson's Rough Riders Force Pack or any of the other Force Packs, you can definitely get them there or at your local game shop. Because we do want you to support local. But if you don't have a local, check out Fortress. They're awesome. So, with that, Ben, what do you have in the realm of shout-outs? Got anything you want to shout out? Your own podcast, probably a good one.
I just want to shout out all the fans and the content creators that are keeping the game going strong. Obviously, CGL is doing a fantastic job with the Kickstarter, and they've got a lot of work ahead of them over the next year or so. Looking forward to seeing what they push out. And also my fellow Colorado miscreants at the Valhalla Club podcast.
Absolutely. So,
come check us out. We just a bunch of dudes sitting around talking Battletech.
It's great. It's a great podcast. If you haven't checked it out, definitely give it a listen. Again, I will have a link in the show notes. And we kind of have been coordinating a little bit, haven't we, Ben?
We have
our unit summaries. So, trying to get people familiar with these awesome units that are coming out. Although I think you'll probably leave me in the dust and go on to other units besides mercenaries, because you've done a couple house or clan units, haven't you?
We're getting there. We initially started off with just doing deep dives on the box sets because we were trying to promote the box sets and stuff, just right. Kind of like you did.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Then once I didn't want to step on your toes too much, so I was like, well, let's
nor
branch
I
off
yours.
Into the houses and the clans and stuff. So I think we're nearing the end of our box set talk. So probably the next, not this next episode, but the next episode after this, we'll probably start getting into house and clan stuff. So
awesome.
Where we just do a deep dive and talk about a particular unit for the night. So
fantastic. Yeah. My plan is to probably do, the only other box set that's out, which was actually the first box set. But I have to get two co-hosts lined up for that because those guys would be mad if I didn't have them on.
I believe you're thinking of the same guys that we're having on.
Exactly.
Talk about ours.
Yeah. They are them.
They are.
No, I love them. They're awesome. So,
yeah.
So got to have them on. And then, unless we get like the Snords box that comes out before then, who knows when Kallus is going to drop that.
Yeah.
So. Again, Ben, thank you for joining me on the episode today. Once again, thank you all.
Absolutely.
To the fans and the listeners, and thank you to the Battletech community, because seriously, you guys are awesome. All the other podcasts out there, seriously, you're amazing. The Valhalla Club has, I'll have a link to this too. But yeah, we definitely have like a big hangout for all the Battletech podcasts.
We do.
And we have a good time. We have a good time with it there. So yeah. We each have a room. We have a booth in Valhalla, the Solaris Games, club. It's so aptly named for. So,
yeah.
It's a lot of fun, and everyone in that group is fantastic. And so, yeah, looking forward to lots more collaboration and getting together with everyone there. And I know there's more. There's new Battletech podcasts coming out as well. We got a brand new one that just launched called MHQ Podcast. Mobile Headquarters MHQ Podcast. And they are on YouTube as well, so be sure to check them out. We got some community members that we've known for a long time in there as well. In fact, you've actually met one of them, which is fantastic. I definitely need to try to make it somewhere in 2024 for the 40th anniversary. So hopefully, definitely. Hopefully I can meet up with you guys there, you know, somewhere. Don't know where yet, you know, but
I mean, that's a goal. There's a lot of options. I know myself and Matt are going to be in Vegas for the Las Vegas Open next year. Awesome. I will more than likely be at Gen Con because Indianapolis is where I grew up. So all right, I got
to
go home.
Easy. Yeah, easy way, reason to make it there. So, yeah, I would love to go to Gen Con.
You're not too far from Colorado.
It's true. I mean, it's still like 12 hours. But, yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
But I do like to go to Colorado. And so if I get to come up there, I definitely will try to, you know, have a detour and meet up with some of you
guys. Absolutely.
Well, once again, thank you. We're going to wrap this up and be sure to check out the show notes. If you've made it this far, please like and subscribe on YouTube. You know, give us a like or a review for the podcast in all of those places. It definitely helps us out. And we look forward to chatting with you all and seeing you next time. Maybe seeing you across the table. And good night. And God bless.
Good night.